The Universal Path by Jan van Rijkenborg and Katha Rose de Petri. Chapter 1. Religious Propaganda. You will have noticed that the large number of religious groups and societies practicing negative occultism advertise more openly and in a more banal way in the advertising columns of our newspapers, and also use pamphlets, posters, and other means. This religious propaganda, mostly prepared in a childish way, testifies of the spiritual decadence of our century and of the enormous crisis mankind faces. It is always very easy to determine whether a certain action does possess the purity of inner spontaneity or not. Everyone realizes that this kind of propaganda is imported from the USA, where the science of advertising has been studied thoroughly and where it is the custom to propagate religious tendencies of all kinds in such a way that it makes a European heart stand still. You should know, however, that things which seem coarse and banal to us are quite ordinary and not in the least bit shocking to the Americans. Why that is so is beside the point here. It is of little interest to us at the present time to know why the American community, in its alchemical processes, must overcome the phase of natural religion in the American way. The main thing is to find the reason why the American natural religious methods are so readily accepted in our European countries, and in our opinion this phenomenon is caused by the ending of a period of culture. When someone has reached the end of his life process and possibly shrinks from its inevitable consequences, his actions lose the spontaneity of sincerity, and he takes to experimentation and to imitation. His behavior shows a spasmodic nervousness. He raises his voice and gives himself airs, and his external positiveness discloses the greatest negativity. He is in reality, then, a poor, wretched creature. When the dictators shout at their loudest, you can be sure that the situation is worse than ever. In reality, things are as follows. If there truly is essential life in something, this life manifests itself by growth and expansion. This growth and irresistible expansion spring from life itself, and therefore are completely genuine. When there is life, there is a natural magnetic attraction, there is a focus and a magnetic field. In modern history, there were periods in which the European community of nations had such a focus and such a magnetic field. Europe set the tone because from her, a tone actually emanated because she was entitled to it. Frequently, this predominating position hung by a thread because the vital power, the potential, was not used correctly. Recovery was possible at that time because unused powers were liberated and were employed in the renewal, as was the case at the time of the Renaissance and after the French Revolution. Without those mighty European turnabouts of the past, Europe's task in the large community of nations would have died out long ago to a small heap of smouldering ashes. So we are once again faced with a change on the old continent. This change already casts its shadows, and that is why the curve of nervousness is rising. The old apparatus, used so long, functions no longer, or at best, very clumsily, and therefore new ways of life are being imported from abroad. The former fundamentals now disclose themselves horizontally in commonplace religious advertising, the undeniable symptom of decline of a period of culture. This advertising is undertaken in many different ways. You should not consider this superficially. The advertising activity in the newspapers is the more external and childish way. There are also groups who are trying to acquire leading positions in practically the whole civil, social, and economical apparatus by means of political authority. In this way, they try to gain or even strengthen their control over the nation. It should be clear, however, that this forcing spells its own death. If a man or a group possesses spiritual qualities and a true inner calling, so that consequently there are a magnetic focus and a power field, neither God nor man can resist such a power as it progresses towards fulfillment. All obstacles then turn into advantages. Hence comes the saying, "Those who believe do not hurry." We may hold different opinions about the nature and the causes of all these phenomena, but one sign is undeniable. The whole world is in a whirlpool of a very revolutionary period, and all eyes are turned towards the old Europe. Europe is facing a new day of revolution. Another Renaissance is at hand. And if you still have but a spark of the old national strain, you know that inevitably the world is driven to an immutable aim, and that no man can resist or delay this process. Some groups of people in this world live in the political field, and thus they are interested in the coming political revolution. They are completely bound to the political conflicts. Others are taken up by the social conflicts of our time, while more exclusive factions of our fellow men concentrate on the economic aspects of the present world storms. According to your individual character, you are interested in one of these three aspects of revolution. You have either political or social or economic interests. And accordingly, you can imagine that, insofar as your attitude is also natural religious, you will make your religious opinions subject to your political, social, or economic interests. All this is quite natural. The natural religious consciousness has to do with a condition of the blood, showing hereditary traits. The inclinations of the ancestors are maintained in our religious communities by a magic supported by powers of the reflection sphere. This natural religious consciousness is altogether directed to earthly things. Horizontally, it is completely biological. It manifests itself in all ages and always in the same manner. The Bushman, the Mohammedan, and the so-called Christians alike are induced into a religious ecstasy because to their natural aptitude and attitude and are so prepared to fight against their enemies. War psychosis and war anxiety are greatly encouraged in this way. You know all this. Now, the pupil of the modern spiritual school should find out how much he himself is involved. Do you have social, political, or economic interests, and in what respect does your natural religious state correspond with it? This is a self-examination which the pupils of a spiritual school must undertake very soon, for the problems connected with it will shortly be of the greatest importance. For the modern Rosicrucian is not at all interested in the political, social, and economic turmoil of our time, and even less in all the doings of the religious according to nature, with their overt and hidden advertising. For there is another life, another aim, and another religion which demand all our attention and energy. In the troubled waters of our time, this point of view may seem altogether negative because you look at the events of life from your own circle of existence. However, we must say that the conduct of a pupil of the modern spiritual school is one of the greatest activity, an activity about which we do not leave you in the dark, an activity about which we speak and write continually. The pupil who learns to understand this standpoint of the spiritual school inwardly finds himself placed, as it were, in another world. He perceives all the hustle and bustle of this world as through a mirror. He does not only perceive the obvious, he looks through it and beyond it. He peers into the darkest hiding places of the human soul. He will not be deceived by a newspaper or a radio advertisement. He knows what is said at the conference tables and is most thoroughly informed. Therefore, he observes the activity of the whole world with the highest possible objectivity. He will surely not forge his plough into a sword, and he will not uselessly oppose anything that is inevitable in this world. In the middle of enormous disturbances of a furious ocean of passions, it is yet possible to achieve great inner calm, the calm of the new life which is not of this world. It is a reality full of mercy and truth, an essential life which sometimes develops in the midst of the greatest turmoil. Its potentiality has been proved in all world history. And therefore the Bible declares in Revelation chapter 18, "And I heard a voice saying, 'Come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sins, lest you share in her plagues, for her sins are heaped as high as heaven to the heart of the reflection sphere. And see, the merchants of the earth weep and mourn for her. It is hoped that everyone will understand very intelligently and in a scientific occult way the holy warning, flee from the coming storm. This concerns the flight, the ascent, the entry into the new life, into a new sphere of existence. May the storm of the coming events find you safely at home